January the 31st, we have seven. Yeah, I'm right. Seven games to talk about. We have lots of chatter on Twitter, lots of trade rumors flying around. Nothing concrete at this point, but they're fun to talk about anyway. We've got some injury updates, all sorts of things, plenty of content for a show. This is the Friday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. That's everywhere and anywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are proudly part of the Old Man Squad Network at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Seven games. We just finished up the Trade Talk show, if you want to go and check that one out. We had some good discussion around trade values, player values, both fantasy and real life. There's some, anyone watching, anyone following NBA would be aware that there is rumblings or are rumblings of a San Antonio-Sacramento trade involving De'Aaron Fox. We're hearing that four teams could be involved. We're hearing that Steph Castle is not part of that trade. So, lots of speculation at this point, nothing confirmed. I will keep Twitter open and I will keep things going just in case something does happen in the next half hour. It'd be nice, but I wouldn't count on it. We're still, as we know, we're still like 6 days from the trade deadline, so there's absolutely no rush on this thing. Let's just do some quick player news. So De'Ron Sharpe is off the injury report. So he left the last game with a hamstring, but everything came up shiny and new and clear. So he's good to go tonight with Noah Clowney out. Tomorrow. With Noah Clowney out, he probably gets a bit of a bump there potentially. But we will we'll talk about that tomorrow, on tomorrow's show. Nothing really else. Zion Williamson is questionable tonight. We'll talk about that when we get to the Pelicans game. There was someone. Nets. I guess speaking of the Nets, Cam Johnson and Cam Thomas are both out through the All-Star break, as is Noah Clowney. No surprises at all there. Isaiah Stewart also got a one-game suspension for his ejection 2 days ago. Noah and I talked about this. I think it's fine. I wouldn't have minded seeing the NBA just take a bit of a stand here and go, okay, you get 4 games or something for the, not necessarily for the flagrant, but for the actions after. They obviously deemed these to not be suspension worthy. I think he got a fine. I mean, does a fine really matter to an NBA player? It's like me getting fined $50. It doesn't really matter. So, yeah, look, it is what it is. All right, games, seven of them. Let me scroll that up. First game of the day, Dallas at Detroit. For Dallas, we'll start with the biggest news. Dante Exum, questionable to return. No, it's not really the biggest news, but I'm happy about him. What's going on there? Why is that popping up? Oh, there we go. It went. That's good. Yes, doesn't really matter. He's not going to play enough to have value at this point anyway. Klay Thompson has played well in the last couple of games, so we hold him if we need threes. We're looking at Quinton Grimes. We're looking at Spencer Dinwiddie if, for whatever reason, they're available. Grimes could be available. Dinwiddie has been the safer of the two. Since the Luka injury, Najee Marshall also ramping up his playing time. Seven games is still a stream-worthy night, so you may have a couple of spots available. I've got one team in one of my leagues where I only have one active player tonight. So, yeah, funny scheduling there. But yes, Najee Marshall is probably more of a deeper league just because his minutes aren't up to what they were before his illness. For the Pistons, no Isaiah Stewart, as I mentioned. It just means Jalen Duren will probably play a little bit more. Paul Reed will come into the rotation. We know Reed can put up numbers, but he's not going to play enough, I don't think, to be worth considering outside of deeper leagues. Tobias Harris was strong in that last game, so we hold him for tonight and see what version of Tobias Harris we get. Tim Hardaway, he was bad, then he was good, and then he was bad and good and bad. So he's very up and down. If you need threes, give him a look. Second game, Los Angeles Clippers at Charlotte. For the Clippers, they continue to be without Chris Dunn, which is not, given his role the last month, that isn't significant, and especially against Charlotte, it is not significant at all, I don't think. Derek Jones, I picked him up in a couple of leagues last night. A good fit, but he's playing 30 minutes tonight. If this is a blowout, we might get limited minutes for the starters, and maybe we get some more of Terrence Mann and Amir Coffey. Jordan Miller maybe makes an appearance. It's hard to stream based off what might happen, though, because who knows? The Hornets could very well come out and make a game of this. We just don't know. So I might consider Amir Coffey here in this one just because I think his minutes are close to being sort of, well, I don't know what the word is, acceptable. So maybe you want to give him a look. For the Hornets, a lot of streaming appeal here. Vasili Micic, Nick Smith, Josh Okogie, Musa Diabate. I think I've added Okogie, Diabate. Haven't added Micic anywhere. Now, obviously, a couple of these guys are very specific. So Micic, really just an assists streamer. Nick Smith has been very bad the last couple of games. I'll give him a couple more before we sort of move on. I still think he's going to continue to start. Soft hold. Let's say that. Taj Gibson, no. Josh Okogie. With Josh Green back, it complicates things a little bit, but I still think Okogie has enough value there. He has, safe defensive floor, so I think we're okay to get him. And Diabate, he will come off the bench, but he should play. Oh, look, I think he probably plays minutes in the mid to high 20s. He's a good rebounder, good defensive numbers, efficient. He doesn't score a lot, but can be efficient. Oh, what happened there? Oh, there we go. Okay, Chicago at Toronto. For the Bulls, no Zach LaVine. He continues to be out due to his personal situation with the birth of a child. So we get a little bit more of Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Lonzo Ball, Ayo Dosunmu. They're basically running a four-guard rotation here with Vooch, which honestly against this Toronto team is not too bad. You could argue that they also run a four-guard rotation. Scotty and RJ are a little bit more sizable and obviously can play as forwards. it could be a fun matchup. We're rostering Lonzo, Dosunmu, Giddey, White, Vooch, all these guys. Jalen Smith, a lot of talk about him. Is he a stash? I think we can still consider him a bit of a stash. We're obviously relying on a Vooch trade or a Vooch shutdown, which I'm not confident that they happen, just given that this is the Bulls. But if you want to hold him, if you're in a position to be able to hold him for another week, then go ahead and do that. Patrick Williams has looked better off the bench. I'm not running to add him, but he's fine if you just need bodies on the court tonight. For the Raptors, though, Emmanuel Quickley, out of nowhere yesterday, popped up, was upgraded to questionable. No indication yet as to whether he will actually play, I don't believe. Let me just double check. No, nothing at this point. Nothing at this point. So we'll see. I hope he returns. Just be good to have him back out there. I actually don't know if I've got him in any leagues anymore. I think I may have dropped him, but that was just because my leagues were redrafting. So if he's back, then Davion Mitchell would lose, not that he's had a lot of value, but he would lose all of his value. Jamal Shedd is doubtful with an illness, so I guess that probably helps Mitchell a little bit, but not to the point where we need to roster him. Grady Dick is questionable with his illness. If he plays, he's fine. If you need threes, you stream him in. If he doesn't play, then we're probably looking at Bruce Brown, Ochai Agbaji as streaming candidates tonight. Kelly Olynyk, questionable. If he's out, Chris Boucher, I guess we could look at him as well. He'll probably have to play a little bit more centre. All right, Denver at Philly, the surging 76ers. Philly, healthy. Aaron Gordon started in the last game. We will just assume that that is going to be the trend now moving forward. Christian Brown moved to the bench, allowing Westbrook to continue as a starter. So we are holding, well, we're holding all the starters plus Christian Brown. Keep an eye on what Brown can do. He was playing really well before that move to the bench. I still think he plays minutes, meaningful minutes, 30, close to. But, yeah, he is sort of turning into just a points streamer, but probably doing enough to be a hole at the moment. For the Sixers, still without Joel Embiid, still without Paul George, Andre Drummond, Caleb Martin, KJ Martin. So we've seen this rotation for the last week. Justin Edwards can be rostered. Gershon Yabusele can be rostered. Next tier down would be Ricky Council and probably Eric Gordon. That's sad when we're rostering Eric Gordon. And then Kyle Lowry. That's probably the levels of trustworthiness. That's not a word. Anyway, the levels at which I trust those players, that would be the order there. Boston at New Orleans for the Celtics. All the big names are playing tonight at this point. So Pritchard, if he was dropped, stream him in. And Horford, look, yeah, Horford I'm not. It's not must roster. You can hold him if you want to. He's probable tonight. They do play the Pelicans, so good matchup for opposing centers. Coming up against Eve Misi, Zion Williamson is questionable with an illness. Jordan Hawkins is out with presumably the same illness, so keep an eye on this. Zion looked pretty healthy in his interview yesterday, but, yeah, we'll see if this is anything or not. Alvarado, with no Jordan Hawkins again, maybe Alvarado is someone to look at if you need steals and threes tonight. Milwaukee at San Antonio. For the Bucks, Giannis, Middleton, Lillard, all probable. We will assume they all play. Bobby Portis remains out, so that doesn't really change a whole lot for fantasy. I mean, I've been asked, is Portis a hold? Like, is he worth holding through this absence? He probably is, if we're being fair. Yeah, he's certainly not an exciting fantasy guy, but I think he's okay to hold. Middleton, again, he's fine if you want to hold him. I wouldn't, if he was on my waivers, I'd consider him, maybe. He's not very exciting at this point. He's being limited. They're playing him off the bench, minutes in the high teens, low 20s. So, yeah, I'm okay if you don't want to hold him or hold him for tonight, then move on. And look, maybe he comes out tonight and has a good game. He had a 22, 23-point game 2 games ago, and then I think he had 0 in the last game. So very up and down. For the Spurs, they are healthy. Jeremy Sochan has been coming off the bench. We assume he will move back into the starting lineup at some point. Whether that will be tonight, I don't know. We hold Steph Castle for now. We obviously hold Jeremy Sochan as well. Once Sochan is starting and Castle comes off the bench and plays 22 minutes. He may trend towards being a drop, but for now there's enough there for him. Obviously, the trade, there are going to be questions, but at the moment we just have to work with what we've got in front of us, which is the roster that we've had all year. Phoenix at Golden State. For Phoenix, Tyus Jones is fine. Assists. I think he's better than a streamer, I think, but also I don't think you have to be holding him. Grayson Allen, if you need threes. We know these guys. Royce O'Neal, if you need other stuff just across the board. And Nick Richards, who's been a little bit inconsistent against this Warriors team, could go one of two ways. He could have a very good game because he'll be matched up against Quinton Post or, well, Trayce Jackson-Davis if he comes back into the rotation, Kevon Looney. So we could get a good Richards game here depending on the flow of the game and whether if the Warriors are sort of dictating things, then Phoenix may just go small and run with Bradley Beal out there and Royce O'Neal as sort of a small ball center. Richards is probably rostered anywhere anyway. So, yeah, if you've got him on your roster, we just hope that this is a good game for the Warriors. No Kuminga, no Draymond Green. We're used to that at this point. And then it's really, we talk about this all the time, it's luck. Is it Quinton Post? Is it Buddy Hield? Is it Brandon Podziemski? Is it Dennis Schroeder? Guy Santos? Moses Moody? Kevon Looney? Kyle Anderson? No idea. So just pick one and go with it based on what stats you need. If I had to pick one, it's probably Podziemski. I feel like Hield at some point is going to, he'll get on a bit of a heater. It might not last very long, but you might get two or three games of sort of vintage Buddy Hield. Dennis Schroeder had a good game 2 games ago without Steph. Steph is there tonight. But if you need some assists, Schroeder is fine as well. All right, let's get to some questions. We don't have too many. That's very good. yes, Chad, you are correct. If this four-team trade happens with Kings, Spurs, and whoever else, if it is Hawks and Pelicans, we don't know. It could be the Suns. It could be two teams that we haven't even discussed who are just throwing in some picks and sort of role players or something like that. Yes, it could be a big one. Jay Sizzle asks, is Tobias Harris a hold in a 9-cap 10-team league? It's pretty borderline in a 10-team, even in a 12-team. 12-team, it's probably 10-team. Yeah, you're probably looking at anyone outside the top 100 as being expendable, and he's probably borderline top 100, I think, rest of season. Sorry, I'm just checking that we've had no updates. Okay, we've got a Ryan question. There's a few, you had a few goes at typing it in, but let's just look at Chad's comment first. Keldon Johnson is the most likely Spurs player moving. Yeah, Castle, I guess we're hearing that he wouldn't be moved in any sort of a deal. Keldon Johnson would not be enough. They would need to obviously have some other pieces there, whether it's draft picks or Chris Paul maybe in there. And then Devin Vassell is the other one, I suppose, that we're speculating could be involved. And here is Ryan's question. He finally got it out. With Clowney out through the All-Star break, does Sharp get more run, drop Kuz or Aldama for him in a 12-team points league? Look, I think it probably helps him a little bit. He doesn't really play a lot of the four. They don't play him alongside Claxton. So his opportunities are more linked to Claxton's health and availability. So I think it helps a little bit. Maybe they do experiment with some Sharp Claxton lineups. I still think Clowney is viewed as more of a stash than a must roster player or anything like that. Would I drop Kuzma or Aldama for him in a points league? I don't know. My gut reaction for Kuz is just yes, because he's been so bad. But the risk is he then traded to a team that he wants to play for and he plays 26 minutes and he's not going to be elite, but in a points league, he has a lot more value than a category league. So it is risky given we're only 6 days from the trade deadline. Aldama has been solid this year. Memphis are getting healthy, so his role is a little more inconsistent now. He's not that sort of source of, I don't know what he was getting early in the season in points leagues, but it would have been relatively consistent. Now it's not. So I guess you can consider dropping Aldama. Kuzma, I'd just be, and again, this is just the proximity to the trade deadline and the fact that he is a better points league guy. I'd try and hold him just for another week and then see what happens. What's Nathan's question here? In a league where the last week is 31st of March to the 6th of April, what do I do with players on potentially tanking teams like DeJounte, Drew, Eubanks, etc.? Well, I mean, you try and move them if you want to. That's pretty late in the season to be finishing up. I think that's about a week. I think it finishes mid-April. Games finish mid-April. So all of my leagues finish. I think our playoffs start early March. So we probably finish sort of mid-March, maybe the week before 23rd of March. That rings a bell for some reason. Anyway, if you think that you've got players on teams that are going to shut things down at some point, just try to move them. And I guess looking at any potential trade from the perspective of, am I winning this trade? Don't just look at player value. So if you're moving DeJounte, obviously he's a very valuable fantasy asset. And you don't want to look at it and go, okay, I need to absolutely hit a home run with the guy that I'm getting back here, someone who's got more per game upside. You just want to go, okay, well, I'm looking at getting a player who has comparable upside, similar sort of value, but a more favorable schedule, or they're on a team like an Atlanta or a Chicago or a Phoenix or one of these teams that is basically just going to run through to the end and see what happens. Castle or Veet rest of season? I'd probably go Veet right now, but that could certainly change depending on what the Spurs do here. Castle could go one of two ways. There are only two ways to go, up or down. If Vassell goes, if Keldon Johnson goes, and basically they just get De'Aaron Fox back, I don't know how they would utilize the Fox Chris Paul pairing. I don't think you could play them alongside each other. It's just counterproductive. So maybe Chris Paul goes somewhere. Maybe not to Sacramento, but maybe to one of those, the third or fourth team. So he could maintain a starting role, in which case it would probably be Castle. But if it gets to the point where he's back off the bench playing 20 minutes, it's probably V. Yes, I think the Hawks do need to make a deal. I think there's a few teams that have to make deals if they want to stay competitive. I think the Lakers are one. I think the Hawks are one. I think the Suns might be another one. Warriors probably, but I don't know what the Warriors are thinking. But yes, the loss of Jalen Johnson certainly, emphasizes the fact that they need to do something here, because we've seen the last 2 weeks or whatever, they've lost seven in a row and they've looked bad. So they need to do something. All right, Matt Carmody, Duncan Robinson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, or Luke Kennard in a 19 head-to-head. I have Morant, and Kennard seems like he's handcuffed. He does. If you have to pick up one of those guys, I'd probably go Kennard, I think. Duncan Robinson is fine, but he's just threes. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't handle the ball, really. Kennard, I know, is threes as well, but they're putting the ball in his hands. He's got some assists upside, I think. Defensively, he's solid enough. Alexander Walker was good yesterday, but prior to that hadn't been great. So I think I'd go Kennard in that situation. Does Keon Ellis get the bump in the short term if Fox is traded today? Probably. Yeah, I think if a trade were to happen, and it still hasn't, as I check the all of the websites and stuff. And look, honestly, it probably won't happen today. Yes, if a trade was to happen today, tomorrow, whenever, we know it usually takes a couple of days for these trades to go through. They have to do physicals. They have to get there. They have to acclimatize. It's not the right word, but get into the team, get into the swing of things. Like it takes a couple of days. So yes, even if Ellis was not to be the long-term starter, that we could get two games or something of Keon Ellis starting, and yes, so that would be the short-term bump, I think. Yeah, I just thought of this, Chad, as well. If Chris Paul is traded to, well, Sacramento, fine, I think, because they're at least they're a competitive team. But if there was a third or fourth team and he was just basically dumped to, I don't know if like Brooklyn or any of these teams are going to get involved, and maybe Cam Johnson is part of this deal. But yeah, if he was to go to a team like that, I'd feel bad for him. Although, I mean, if that was to happen, pretty good chance he would just be bought out and he would sign with a competitive team. So I think no matter what happens here, if he's moved, he probably ends up on a contender. But yeah, it is unfortunate because I think he's probably really enjoying his time in San Antonio, and he doesn't talk much, but yeah, playing alongside Wemby has to be fun. Being able to help with Steph Castle's development, I think that's something that Chris Paul would be. I mean, chances are he ends up as a coach somewhere, you would think. And he probably really enjoys doing that sort of thing. So, yeah, it would be bad, but hopefully he just lands somewhere. Shining night. We're praying for Goga's recovery, as losing to Ayton is demoralizing. It is, but he is dominating, so what do you expect? Yes, he would. Yeah, I think in Sacramento he'd be fine. Again, would he start? He might. But yes, Portland, Washington, those sorts of things. I do. That would be sad if he was stuck there. But I do think that they would do the right thing and just buy him out and allow him to sign elsewhere. All right, one final check, and no news. Is no news good news? Doesn't look like there's anything. No. Scrolling through, nothing. Okay. Well, there's something I've just seen. It's from Sam Amico. I mean, he's somewhat reputable, and it's a report, again, hypothetical, that Brandon Ingram could be traded to Miami for Jimmy Butler. Okay. I don't know why the Pelicans would want to get Jimmy Butler, but Ingram in Miami would be interesting. Obviously, I think it'd be pretty good for Ingram. He'd stick. It would same role basically. So, yeah, I think that would be okay. What else have we got? Do I prefer Keon Ellis or Kaysen? At this stage, Kaysen. He's starting, he's playing 35 minutes. So at this point, Kaysen Wallace would be my preference. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Things to do. I will be back with a post-game show later today and just back into the normal routine tomorrow. Go and like that, the trade deadline show. I think we're up to 741 likes, maybe, something like that. So we're getting there. We're getting close. That will be next week, of course. But I will be back this Savo. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please go and download and do all of that stuff that we ask of you. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.